Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Noom. Nowadays, most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. The good thing about Noom is that it uses the latest and proven behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good. Noom builds personal plans that can meet an individual's needs and take into account dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs to build a plan that works for you. Through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching, their platform has helped millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. Noom helps you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100% healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. Welcome to Love It or Leave It, Back in the Closet, Elect. That incredible song, The Last of the Year, sent in by Nicholas Howard. If you want to make a Back in the Closet Elect theme song, please send it to leaveit@crooked.com. That's leaveit@crooked.com. They have all been incredible, each one different, each one bringing kind of its own vibe. I think that's great. Before we start the show, Crooked just released a new podcast in collaboration with Tenderfoot TV called Gaining Ground, The New Georgia. It's hosted by Atlanta natives Jewel Wicker and Rembert Brown, and it will be telling the story of these incredibly important Georgia runoffs in real time. This multi-part podcast will visit the front lines with Jewel and Rembert as they detail the struggles and triumphs that led to this moment and hear from the organizers, strategists, and voters hoping to change the South forever. The trailer and first episode are out now, so go check it out and subscribe to Gaining Ground, The New Georgia, wherever you get your podcast. It's an excellent show. Also, yesterday on Holier Than Thou released a very special holiday episode with Crooked Media alum Brittany Packnett Cunningham. It's a fantastic conversation with Philip and Brittany about Jesus Christ and social justice. Check it out and make sure you subscribe to Unholier Than Thou wherever you get your podcasts. Later in the show, we are joined by Sam Park, the first openly gay man to be elected to the Georgia legislature, to talk about those races. And we're joined by Michaela Watkins, Louis Vertel, Alice Wetterland, Guy Branum, and Akilah Hughes, returning champions all, for a very special award show to round out the year. But first, back for our last show of the year, comedian, writer, and host of, various segments that come and go. They come and they go. They come, they go. Returning champion, Emily Heller.
Hello. Yeah, I've got multiple segments. That's true. One of them. I like how you were trying to diminish my accomplishments, but really what you did was falsified my record to make it sound like I have more than one segment that I do regularly.
Whatever. You want to know something? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? I'm going to save it. I'm going to save this data point for later.
Okay.
It's going to please you too much. I want to save it for the end. Let's get
fucking
into it.
Woodward over here just sitting on info.
What a year. This is our final Love It or Leave It of 2020. And boy, is my small talk on Zoom tired. Boy, are my edibles tired. Boy, are the awkward first sentences of emails from people who are getting back in touch tired. Boy, am I tired. Boy, is my PlayStation tired. Boy, am I feeling burnt out of this period. Boy, do I feel a sense of great loss over what took place over the course of this past year. Boy, am I, like many people, grappling with depression. Boy, is this depression widespread and especially pernicious because of how hard it is to describe it apart from the ways in which this year has isolated and broken us. Boy, are we going through a period of trauma as a nation that we'll be addressing for years. Boy, has it hit some of us harder than others. Boy, are we not able to understand it because we're still inside of it. Take my 2020, please.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel okay. I'm getting it out. We're getting it out in this episode.
It's just so wild to think about the fact that when it turns January 1st, 2021, none of these problems are going to be around anymore.
That's like the coolest thing about it.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing about UGG 2020 culture is how effective it is at keeping the problems cordoned into this year. That's what I love about it.
I think what's fun for me to think about is, like, do you remember in 1999 when we were like, oh my gosh, it's about to be the year 2000 and we might be leaving behind everything. Like, Y2K might wipe out life as we know it. That would be bad, question mark. And now we're like, that would be so great.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Russian hackers took over all our networks. Wipe them clean. Wipe them clean.
Step on me, daddy.
We're going to go through the events of this year, but I did want to talk about a few big stories that happened this week. First of all, most importantly, what everyone's talking about, Pornhub purged all unverified content from its website.
Yeah.
Now when you visit Pornhub, you can be confident that you will see only blue checkmark pornography. So your porn has titles like support empowered threesomes and we need more female doms. Alt for you. This stepmom is a whole mood.
Is the point of that joke that, like, blue check marks are just constantly appropriating the language of Black Twitter?
It seems yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is it. That is basically it.
Yeah.
This is our holiday episode. Hi, families, together for the holidays.
Yeah.
Obviously just, not together, but, you know.
You've got your Yule log on. You've turned on the podcast. You're ready to sit around and laugh about the news.
Pharmacists reported and the FDA confirmed that vials of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine contain more doses than expected, which means there are more available doses of the vaccine than we thought. Apparently, Emily, this is like a normal thing. Doesn't explain why everyone's acting so surprised, though. It's a real-life Hanukkah. The oil lasted 8 nights, the vaccine has extra doses, and it's a huge win for Jews who went to med school.
Yeah. Maybe now your parents will get off your back.
Is this good enough, Mom? I found extra vaccine. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's the only time, like, I usually think about, like, extra doses sneaking up on you as a bad thing, just as a weed user.
Absolutely. Yes. Right. Yes. Like, I just like the idea that, like, the same ethos we apply to, hey, there's a little bit of sauce left in both of these jars. I think it's enough for one meal. It's close, but I think we can do it. I think that's exciting. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that about sauce.
I'm worried about the hoarding this is going to enable in people I love who are just going to be like, don't throw it out.
The other thing I was thinking too is that, like, whenever I see news like this, what I immediately think is, like, shifty people are calling up their doctors and being like, if there's a little bit left at the bottom, can we talk about it? Can we talk about the little bit of, I just want a little bit of that, whatever you got there at the bottom of those vials. Can you maybe put that aside for me?
Yeah, just earmark it. Yeah, who is the first person who found it? Do you think it was an automatic, like, I'm going to tell someone, or just, like, let me get a taste first?
Wet my beak a little.
Yeah.
I've been working hard. I'm giving people these vaccines. It's a little taste for me.
Yeah.
Little taste for Dr. Smith. Maybe it's Dr. Smith's turn.
I like how all the doctors are Jewish except for this one in the way you're
talking. I want
about
you to
it.
Know, I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because I made a very specific choice, which, while I did want to make him a Dr. Bergstein, a Dr. Goldbaum, I decided that even though I had briefly referred to Jewish doctors mere moments ago,
yeah,
in this joke, in this moment, I was not going to concede to anti-Semitic ancient stereotypes,
yeah,
of greedy, shifty Jews.
Miserly hoarding of wealth. No.
No. No. Not today. That doctor is a Lutheran. All right? You hear me? The doctor thinking about stealing some vaccine from the bottom, in my imagination, in this case, was Lutheran. Mike Pence is scheduled to receive the vaccine tomorrow. It will be filmed so that a positive message can be sent to the whole country. And that message, Mike Pence has blood.
I don't think a vaccine would prove that. Like, you stick a needle full of vaccine into a sponge, it'll still, like, absorb it. It's not proof that the sponge has blood.
No, but they gotta put the, no, they'll put a little Band-Aid on. They'll put, yeah. I guess you're right. It could be a performance. On Wednesday, President Emmanuel Macron of France tested, how do you say, positive for the coronavirus.
I like that one a lot. I was so in love with that joke that it just now, but the content of it just hit me. I didn't realize he had coronavirus. That's actually upsetting.
I didn't either. I know, it is upsetting. And I didn't, when I first read it, I was tickled by it as well. And of course, here's the thing. The combination of the grim reality of the crisis, both economic and health-wise, and the fact that it's remote in some sense for those of us that have been really at home, I've become darker. I've been willing to go darker just in jokes, just because everything is so grim and it all feels so remote. It exists in a screen.
Yeah. I mean, I think people who are like face to face with it, doctors always have gallows humor, and then people who are removed from it also have humor. It's getting harder and harder to like escape from this at any point, because now Macron has it, like Emily in Paris, they're going to have to talk about it.
So, first of all, I've talked about this before, but I am really not excited for the first action movie that has like Vin Diesel or The Rock or like Chris Pine saying something like, this thing makes coronavirus look like the common cold, you know, like the pandemic villains coming for us in films is going to be very, very, very taxing. I also think there's a whole bunch of stuff that was made like all these movies that are going to come on HBO Max to fuck those directors, to really fuck them, as Warner wanted. But all those things that are going to come to HBO Max, or all the movies that were shot before but are going to be delayed, like, they're going to exist in this strange reality that's, like, post-pandemic, but where the pandemic doesn't exist.
Yeah. I think people are just not going to reference the pandemic as much as we worry that they will in television.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think if there's one thing that we've learned from the pandemic is that, like, we watch TV shows that are 20 years old. And so I think people making TV are like, I don't want to watch an episode of Raymond about the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm just assuming everyone's thinking about this the way I am, which is like comparing yourself to Philip Rosenthal, creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, and thinking what would
Absolutely.
He do when making
Absolutely.
Media.
Absolutely. I think it's a good thing to think about, right? You know, it's like he makes Raymond, he makes pizzas in his brick oven. It's very exciting. Senator, I'm gonna give you two versions of this joke. You can decide which one we should have done.
Okay.
Senator Mitch McConnell finally acknowledged Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election, saying he would honor the will of the voters until Republicans impeach in 2023. Not really a joke. Half a joke. Half a joke. Right. Similar vibe. Here we go. Senator Mitch McConnell finally acknowledged Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election. The bad news, McConnell says it's already too late in his term for Biden to nominate judges. I think that's stronger. I think it's a little
bit stronger.
It's more fun.
True.
It's more fun.
And dark. Very dark.
President Trump's neighbors at Mar-a-Lago are trying to block him from moving there after he vacates the White House next month. They must have heard his speech about having to flush 15 times.
For someone who is so obsessed with how people think of him, the fact that he is so open about how giant his turds are, how giant and loose his turds are, is just... incredible to me.
It's a in ways large and small, his narcissism is his own undoing. He just thinks that's what poops are.
Yeah. And then he's like now obsessed with like water pressure in the shower, and I'm convinced it's because he has to shower after he takes a shit because it's such a pain job.
Really surprised me with pain job.
Hat tip to Tim Robinson.
That is so funny. All
it's
right.
Just like a Jackson Pollock in there.
Shit's so bad he has to wash his hair.
Like a baby with a diaper. It's a blowout every time.
The Yule log is burning. There's presents beneath the tree. And what's that coming out of the Sonos? What's that on the Alexa?
We're talking about Trump's Yule log.
In other news, President-elect Joe Biden picked Pete Buttigieg as his nomination for Transportation Secretary. Amy Klobuchar, who sits on the committee that would oversee transportation, tweeted this: "Congratulations, Pete Buttigieg. From roads to rail, there is so much to be done, and I'm looking forward to working with you. I know you will bring both your big ideas and your local government experience to the job. John and I look forward to welcoming you and Chasten to Washington." Is that a dig?
I mean, yeah.
So close. I think it is.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to like ask a straight man if it's a dig because he'll say no, but you and I know.
But we know it. That's right. That's right. That's the power of being a straight man. That wouldn't faze you. You'd say, thank you. Let's have that dinner.
Yeah.
But the combination of the local government experience.
Yeah.
And the welcome to Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I love. But there's plausible deniability for Amy, too. I respect the hell out of it.
Absolutely.
I respect the hell out of it.
It's a very Minnesota way of being a bitch.
Let bygones be bygones, you know?
I think it's fun.
It is fun. I hope it continues. You're right.
I mean, it's like, okay, when you watch a TV show and two characters have, like, that kind of relationship, are you ever like, hey, would you knock it off? No, you're like,
get
those two people on screen together.
Yes, I guess it is true. However, it is thrilling in year 6 or 7 when there's the bottle episode and they're both trapped in the elevator and they realize they have to join forces.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe that's where we're heading. And in this case, the bottle episode is light rail. It's light rail. According to a report in Politico, Trump-appointed science advisor Paul Alexander wrote in a July 4th email, Happy Independence Day, that COVID-19 should be allowed to spread uncontrolled in the U.S. in order to establish herd immunity. In his words, quote, "We want them infected," end quote. Congrats to Trump. It is the one plan he ever successfully followed through on.
Promises made, promises kept.
Unbelievable. It's so awful. It's almost as if that was their, I don't know how you would say it. It's like their last solution, their final fix. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way to, something like that. Anyway, moving on.
I feel like if you could just come up with, like, a really catchy name for it, people might have gotten on board. Literally on board. All aboard. Oh, God. Really bad Hollywood House. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. But, Emily.
Yes.
This is our last show of the year, and it's hard to believe how much has happened. Remember in January when we impeached the president? Me neither.
God.
Remember when Pete won the Iowa caucuses, but was also accused of a conspiracy theory that would mean he wanted us to not know he won, thereby denying him any momentum from the win. And then a bunch of people on Twitter started crafting more and more elaborate theories, including one that actually involved me, one of the puppet masters of Mayor Pete's rise, when if I were good at rigging anything, Elizabeth Warren would be president. And then some of the people started calling Pete a rat, Warren a snake. And meanwhile, all the while, Biden was in a basement in Delaware listening to the soundtrack from Rocky IV doing push-ups, learning how to connect on Zoom, and getting ready to prove every Twitter pundit wrong except Simone Sanders and Josh Barrow. I don't remember that either.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Never happened.
Too much happened this year.
I'm eager for 2021 to allow for these kinds of scandals again. You know, like just the kind of like, just lower stakes. I just want to some lower stakes.
Yeah, can ones that aren't about just stakes? Like killing thousands of people.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Get that vaccine. I will say though, I am glad that... I went to a buffet in Las Vegas twice while I was there for the caucuses, and it was so extreme. It was so crazy to go to one of these giant buffets twice. Like, no, but twice. But I'm so glad I did because I didn't know that we would soon get back. And then on March 11th, on the same day, the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus outbreak a pandemic. The NBA suspended its season. Harvey Weinstein was sentenced to 23 years in prison. Tom Hanks announced he and Rita Wilson tested positive. And worst of all, Pod Save America was forced to cancel our Phoenix show.
That's the one that we're all still thinking about, I think.
I do think I am very glad that cooler heads prevailed in my effort to go to Seattle. There was one last live show, and it was as it was taking root in Seattle, and we didn't know the it wasn't, we now know more. I mean, we just have like just sort of
when it
basic
first came out, we were just sort of like, everyone just wash your hands and that's all you need to do.
Yeah, wash your hands, don't touch your face. And I was like, should we just do the show? How bad does it get to you cancel? Glad we canceled.
Yeah.
2020 was also the year that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle quit the royal family and moved to Los Angeles to start a media company. But it's a little embarrassing because leaving the government to start a podcast network in LA is very 2017.
Have they asked you for advice yet?
It's radio silence from Harry and Meghan. Radio silence. Not a note. Not a how are ya. Not a we're in town. Not a brunch invite, nothing.
It's
nothing.
Weird because I don't know why I feel like this, because you're not supposed to feel like this about royalty. But with them, I feel like I'm supposed to meet them at some point. We don't run in the same circles, but I feel convinced our paths will cross. I don't know why I feel that way about them. Like,
I mean,
they're like
my
mom's work friend.
It's up to me. We'll all be together at the Improv in 2021. All right. They're coming in. They're doing okay. Stop with the Crown. That's my plan. I just came up with it. Don't tell them. They'll never do it.
They're just going to say okay, stop immediately and not have commentary. They're just going to be begging you to actually stop making them watch the Crown. Are they going to have Meghan Markle play herself on the Crown?
That's such an interesting idea. I can't imagine that is a good idea for them.
I mean, if she really wants to burn that bridge with the queen.
Well.
Have you watched Suits? She's good.
I've never seen Suits.
I started watching it after she became a princess because I was like, what's her deal?
Suits, to me, are the least appealing part of work, wearing the suit. I hated wearing a suit. I wore a suit for years. And it's like, why are we making the suit so important here?
It's about suits? It's not about their suits.
Well, I didn't know
it's
that.
It's a pun about, like, lawsuits and guys who wear suits.
Okay. I'm not joking. I'm saying that is the idea that there was a pun baked into the word suits is 100% something I am finding out in this moment. Never occurred to me. Didn't get it. Now I get it. Suits.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't get it until my husband pointed it out to me while I was watching it.
Classic Peter.
Classic Peter.
Emily Heller, thank you so much for being here. As always, a source of stability.
Joy.
And joy.
Yeah.
Humor. Optimism. In an otherwise chaotic and grim time.
Yeah.
Thank you for always being such a joy on this show.
And you
as
know
we
what?
Celebrate the holidays.
In the
yeah?
spirit of the season, I'm uh-huh. not going
wow.
to do a garden show right now.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sparing me that, even if people in the audience are desperate for it. For me, that means a lot. It's a gift to me, and I'm grateful.
We know that you are the only one who's excited about this not happening right now. I mean, the merch has sold out.
I will tell you something now. You know what? No, I'm not going to. You know what? I was going to tell you. Now I'm not. When we come back, I talk to Sam Park about the runoffs in Georgia.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This podcast is brought to you by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Americans United defends your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms and even democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. While Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs, Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU's work at au.org/crooked. That's au.org/crooked.
And we're back. He is the first openly gay man and the first Asian American Democrat in the Georgia legislature. Please welcome Representative Sam Park. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, John. Happy to be here.
So what are you seeing on the ground right now in these runoffs? What's happening right now?
Yeah, so I think context is always important, but I think all of the elements, all the pieces that allowed Georgia to turn blue during the November elections are very much in place. And I think especially within a lot of these communities who turned out for the very first time, there's a lot of momentum in that they saw how important their vote is. And they've really, I think, for the first time understood the influence they potentially had in terms of all of these elections. And so, based on conversations, based on what I've seen on the ground, there's an incredible amount of enthusiasm amongst voters of color and young voters. But of course, there are challenges as well, particularly in that a lot of these first-time voters haven't voted in a runoff election. So of course, part of the job that we're all doing is encouraging them not to only utilize the power that they have once more, but to provide timely and accurate information about how they can ensure their vote counts. That's on the Democratic side. Of course, on the Republican side, it's quite honestly been fascinating because we're currently in the midst of a GOP civil war in which Secretary Raffensperger, Brian Kemp, not only certified the results of the election after three recounts, they followed the law and demonstrated integrity, at least as to that component.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we continue to have Senator Loeffler and David Perdue stand in support of these lies that is really doing irreparable damage. And quite frankly, furthering the objectives of our foreign adversaries and undermining the integrity of our elections and trust in American democracy. And I hope voters, when they are coming out to vote right now, and of course, by January 1st, understand what's at stake and really understand what Senator Loeffler and Perdue are doing and the action and the implications of their actions.
So we just went through the general election. What did we learn in where people turned out? The, you know, it was obviously it ended up being close. You know, we've heard about Georgia changing for a long time. It's finally happening. We're in the middle of it. Where did we do better than we expected? Where do we have challenges? Like, what are the lessons from the general that are we applying right now to help John Ossoff, to help Raphael Warnock?
So, you know, back in 2018, Stacey Abrams deployed the correct strategy, in my opinion, of harnessing the opportunities that exist in Georgia, which is empowering communities of color. The state of Georgia demographically is becoming, of course, more diverse. But that diversity, you know, of course, in part is being driven by people who are moving into the state. But also, I think it's simply generational change, right? I'm born and raised in Georgia. And when I let folks know that, you know, I'm an openly gay Asian American Georgia state representative, they're shocked because they're, you know, the understanding of Georgia based on our representation, rightfully so, is that, you know, it's a bunch of, you know, old white conservative folks, right? That's not the future of the state. And quite frankly, that's not the present reality of our state's population. And so I think the approach that Stacey took in 2018, which was the first in Georgia of building a multiracial, multi-generational coalition by first and foremost empowering these voters, empowering Georgians by getting them registered to vote, and then encouraging them, inspiring them to utilize the power that they have, is the correct approach. And we saw the impact of that, I think, most clearly here in Gwinnett. And maybe I may be a little bit biased just because I'm you know, the chairman of the Gwinnett delegation. And my district is located centrally right here in the heart of Gwinnett, the county seat, the city of Lawrenceville. But I don't think it's mere coincidence that Carolyn Bordeaux from the Georgia 7th Congressional District was the only seat in the entire country that flipped from red to blue. And her success was driven by, again, young communities of color voting in unprecedented numbers. And quite frankly, I think the path forward is just that. It's harnessing the next generation and maintaining and continuing to build upon the multi-generational, multi-racial coalition that exists in Georgia.
So, you know, it's interesting even just hearing you say that, you know, I think because these stakes of these elections have been so extraordinarily high, just the desperation to win has made so much of our conversation around just, are we electing Democrats? Are we electing Republicans? You're the first openly gay man to be elected in Georgia to the legislature. I guess I obviously know it's going to be a mix, but how much do you attribute that to a changing electorate? And how much do you attribute that to actually reaching voters who are changing in real time on this issue? You know, you said yourself, there's the stereotype of a older white conservative voter. How much of your campaign do you feel like you went to people and showed them that that voting for a gay person was no big deal?
What my election taught me was that character matters. And I think a new electorate, what they ultimately want, they want effective, competent leaders that are able to get the job done and to, when all is said and done, serve them. You know, my conversations with most Georgians and having grown up and lived in Georgia my entire life, folks aren't ideologues, right? They're not extremists on either side. and particularly when it comes to first-time voters who tend to be apolitical. Oftentimes, you know, they just simply want effective government. And I think in light of the abysmal failures of the Trump administration, where it's not necessarily partisan, but it's what has the American government done in the face of the worst public health crisis in this country's history? What has the Republican Party done when it comes to addressing the growing economic inequities, the social unrest that continues to bubble up because it's never been properly addressed, going back to the very beginning of our country? And so I think what's really driving a lot of folks in terms of first-time voters, as well as, you know, moderates and your independents who typically tend to turn out, is the desire simply to have effective government. And I think that bodes well because the Democratic Party is the only party right now that actually acknowledges the problems in which we face. We're not, unfortunately, led by Trump. The Republican Party seems to have become detached from reality, which I think is such a dangerous thing in this moment in which we are facing imminent threats and dangers. The fact that we are living through a mass casualty event, where already 300,000 Americans have lost their lives, and we're just about to enter into the worst part of this pandemic. Right.
Yeah.
It's terrifying and concerning. But at the same time, I think it's also important to understand the root cause and address what's driving traditionally conservative voters further to the right, whether it is the loss of identity, whether it is economic uncertainty. In order for us to ultimately persevere and overcome the current challenges that we're facing, I think we have to come together. We have to find common ground, which I know Biden is doing everything that he can to foster. And that's the same is very much true when it comes to local and state politics as well.
What are some ways people, like, I think, you know, there's been this concern about people from out of state coming in. There's been questions about the efficacy of money. What do you think people listening right now outside of Georgia can do to help win these runoffs right now?
Volunteer and donate. And there are many, first and foremost, Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff's campaigns. Go directly to their websites, sign up to volunteer on both of their campaigns, contribute to both of their campaigns, and then support all of the additional infrastructure that's built around. There is a coordinated campaign going through the Democratic Party of Georgia. Again, donate and volunteer through the Democratic Party of Georgia, and then support the local grassroots community groups who are really on the front lines of this transformative work. You know, oftentimes I've read so many articles saying, yeah, after the 2018 gubernatorial election, Stacey really began her efforts on changing the electorate. No, Stacey's been engaged in this work for the past decade, right? She's invested all of her time and energy, again, in empowering people through organizations like the New Georgia Project that's registered hundreds of thousands of folks in this state in conjunction with other community-based organizations like Asian Americans Advancing Justice and the Asian American Advocacy Fund, along with many other PACs who are, again, members of the community who are working to organize their own communities, empower their own communities, and ultimately turn them out for our shared objectives of making progress and getting through these incredibly challenging times.
Last question. What's the gayest show you're streaming right now?
The gayest show I'm streaming.
It doesn't need to have... It just has to... I would count The Crown. I think it evokes certain homosexual qualities. What is the... How does Netflix know you're gay? That's the question, really. Netflix knows I'm gay. It knows. The algorithm knows. How do your streaming algorithms know that you're a gay person?
So Pose, of course, is fabulous. But of course, I flew through that, you know, a while back ago. Legendary on HBO Max is fabulous as well. And then I just saw a preview of season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And of course, you know.
Wow. All right. That's great. That's good. That's great. Sam Park, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you. And let's go win these runoffs. And if you go to votesaveamerica.com, you can support a lot of the organizations and volunteer with the organizations that the representative Sam Park talked about. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much to Sam Park for being here. When we come back, it's time for the Quarantine Choice Awards.
Don't go anywhere. This is Love It or Leave It, and there's more on the way.
Hey there, Tommy Vitor, and if you're not subscribed to Pod Save America's YouTube channel, then you are leaving some sweet, sweet content on the table, and you don't want to do that. Here is a clip from my YouTube series, Liberal Tears, where Brian Tyler Cohen and I rank the worst moments in politics.
The loser also has to do something terrible and embarrassing. In this case, you will have to hear it for yourself. A few weeks back, we talked about the phenomenon of MAGA rappers. Forgiato Blow, Vivek Ramaswamy.
I know what you're gonna do.
Some of the best and the brightest in the rap game. I did win this time with 60% of the vote. So you're up in the punishment category. We were thinking it would be cool if, like Vivek, you could lose yourself to the music in the moment.
Lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. Only your one shot, you not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, yo.
Yeah, none of you grew up in Michigan.
Hit subscribe so you don't miss the fun, and make sure to check out the Pod Save America YouTube channel for more content.
And we're back. Let's face it, 2020 was a very hard year. It made 2001 look like 1999. And so we decided to send it off in style with what we are calling the first and hopefully last annual Quarantine Choice Awards. We have invited five of our favorite comedians, returning champions all, to join us to determine who will receive the prestigious Golden Pangolin. First up, we have comedian, actress, and a co-host of Hysteria. Please welcome back returning champion, guest from the very first episode of Love It or Leave It, 170 episodes ago, Michaela Watkins. Good to see you.
Hi, great to see you. Thanks for having me back. This is my favorite show. On Radio Vision.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah.
We are doing the Quarantine Choice Awards, and you are here as the voter, the only voter, the judge in a specific category, the Hydroxychloroquine Award for absolutely knowing nothing about them before 2020. And so I'm going to share the nominees, and you can tell us what you think about them and who deserves this award.
Good.
According to a standard you'll devise yourself.
Okay.
In real time.
All right. Good. I'm very judgy. This should be easy.
It could be about how much you like these people. It could be about how much you've learned about them. Mm-hmm. It could be about how much more you've learned about them, or how little you knew about them before. It's really up to you. That's the beauty of these choice awards. The people decide. And the nominees are, first, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Okay.
Someone to think.
Okay. Mulling it.
Claudia Conway.
Aha. Uh-huh.
KN95 masks. The K, something that is important in ways we don't totally understand. Mm-hmm. The front-facing camera Twitter comedians.
Uh-huh.
The Michigan Canvassing Board.
Oh.
And finally, Tony Bobulinski. Now, feel free to discuss any of these. If any thoughts on your mind, if anything about Fauci has come to your attention.
I'm just now blanking on Tony Bobulinski, but I have a feeling with a name like that, maybe it's best.
I'll remind you that he was involved in something having to do with efforts to drum up Hunter Biden news.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Hunter Biden associate. That punk.
He was on the hunt for Hunter. Okay. I'm going to say, in terms of all of this, all of the above are things I never knew, other than Dr. Fauci, maybe, because his name came up once or twice before hydrochloroquine. But I'm going to say it might be Claudia Conway. Like hydrochloroquine's 15 minutes, might have seen Claudia's. I'm not sure. She might be here to stay. Was it a moment? Was it a blip in time? Are we going to like come back and go, we should have listened more to hydrochloroquine and Claudia Conway? I don't know, but I'm going to say that she really came onto the scene hard.
Yeah, she did. Yes.
Everybody loved her and wanted her. She did something to make people feel better. She did something to make some others feel not so great. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because I know what the K and KN95 stands for, so I can share it with you if you want.
Well, I have one. I have one. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, let you inside of my pandemic quarantine right now, which is I'm here with Ronan's family, and there was a snowstorm today, so I didn't do it today. But basically, every morning I borrow Mia Farrow's car.
As you do.
as one does. I put on a KN95 mask and I alternate between Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, McDonald's drive-thru, and Starbucks drive-thru, where I get each one's version of a large iced coffee and each one's version of a breakfast sandwich.
Oh, wow.
And the rotation, variety is the spice of life, Michaela. Have you found that?
Well, I hope they have a drive-through dialysis machine because that's where you're headed.
I hope they do too. A McDialysis. I'll have that's an 11. You have to order an 11. The one is obviously the Big Mac. That's the classic. And by the time you get out to 11, you know, it's dialysis.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Helping to clean your blood.
Here's the thing. I would like to say that Claudia Conway has done as much for COVID and as much for like bringing down the Conways as maybe hydrochloroquine has done for COVID, which is like not really much. Like they're still going.
That's so funny. You've done for this moment what hydroxychloroquine did for COVID. Nothing. You did nothing. Worse than nothing. You didn't really help. You didn't really help.
You made a lot of headlines. But you know, it shouldn't be her job to do it. She's their child.
She's a teen.
And she is a child.
But an award nonetheless.
Almost as young as hydrochloroquine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not even saying it right, but it doesn't matter. To be said correctly.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. And shout out to people with lupus who have to take it and who were pretty annoyed that a bunch of other people were taking it for no reason.
Yeah, it's like when you've been listening to Wilco and all of a sudden everybody's like, have you heard Jeff Tweedy? He's amazing. You're like, I've been listening to Sunvolt in the 90s, you assholes. That's how people with lupus feel.
Yeah. Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. Whiskey.
Before that.
I don't. Michaela.
Yeah. Uncle Tupelo. You know what I mean? Yeah. Back in the day.
A while back.
The Wilco fans will know what I'm talking about, apparently.
there are Wilco fans screaming right now. They're freaking out.
Yeah.
They are seen.
They're freaking out.
They are seen.
Yes. Yes, I see you. Okay.
The golden pangolin goes to you, Claudia Conway, a teen who is thrust into the national spotlight due to the moral failings of the people charged with raising you.
Right.
And you shone bright, and we salute you.
They thought they could make some money off of you, and you don't work. all right. Well, it's great talking to you.
Michaela Watkins, everybody. Returning champion, Michaela Watkins.
Woo!
Next up, we have comedian, actress, and host of What a Day. Returning champion, my buddy, my pal, my Los Angeles friend who moved to LA and then I went east and I haven't seen. We could have gone on walks during this terrible time.
Yeah.
Akilah Hughes.
Hey, how you doing, John?
It's good to see you. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, I understand that there was a love connection earlier today.
Well, I sure hope so.
Involving a Christmas tree. Would you mind telling us about it?
Yeah. I needed a Christmas tree, as it is Christmas, and I was running out of time. And I went to several places that had Christmas trees, but they were all out. And I went to Mr. Jingles out here in LA, and the sexiest lumberjack in history carried this giant tree to my car and tied it on there. And I realized that, you know, maybe there are good things on Earth still. Maybe it's not all darkness, and maybe I need another Christmas tree because I was very awkward. I think having a mask kind of messes up my game, but there should be a love connection. Like, it's me. I'm here.
Maybe he's a listener.
I hope so.
That'd be something.
I hope so. Yeah.
All right, Akilah.
So that's my update, is I'm flirting with a man who doesn't know I exist. I'm literally just another tree customer to him, but
you're just two eyes and $30.
Exactly. That was me.
I actually have never bought, I don't know, if you told me, I've obviously, as a Jewish person, I have no contact with buying Christmas trees. If you would have told me that, oh, a tree, it costs I don't know what it, how much does a Christmas tree in Los Angeles cost?
I'm sure there were cheaper ones, but mine was $80.
$80. That seems okay to me for a whole tree.
Yeah, it's a whole tree.
It's a whole tree. Let it grow for a long time. It's probably, yeah, it probably takes years, good. Right? It takes years. So it's like, you know, there's trees that aren't ready yet. There are trees that are just planted in the places where this year's trees were cut down. I'm sure it's very complicated. I wouldn't know, though.
Also, like, a large hot man had to carry it to my car. We got to pay him.
I'm picturing flannel. Was there flannel involved?
It was totally flannel.
He knows what he's doing.
Little beanie.
Mm. Oh, so let's just be clear about something. An actor brought your tree to your car.
Yeah, totally, totally. A hot actor who couldn't get any work because there was nothing shooting is now working at a really great Christmas tree farm and helped me out. And I love it. I love the farce of Los Angeles. That's why I moved here.
So, Akilah, you were here for a very specific reason. We are doing the Quarantine Choice Awards. We were going to call them the Pandemies, but then it turns out The Daily Show had that idea some time ago. Mm-hmm. And so you will be presenting one of the Quarantine Choice Awards, the Nice Try But No Thanks Award. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is an award about attempts, people who tried things. And I'm going to read you the nominees, and you can discuss the nominees as we go, and then share with us who you believe deserves, for whatever reasons you believe they do deserve, the Quarantine Choice Award.
All right. I'm excited. I'm happy to hand it out. And I hope that they feel honored to be nominated.
The nominees are, again, this is a word about attempts. Nice try,
success.
But no thanks. The Imagine video.
Mm, yeah. They really jumped the gun on that one. It was like 15 minutes into being at home and they were like, people need this. You know, fast forward 6 months and people are just like, we're going to go out to eat and we're just going to you know, do that rugged individualism that America was built on.
Yeah,
we don't need any songs. We don't need to imagine.
Hey, we saw
all the people are outside.
We saw the video that you made, and then we imagined pretending the pandemic didn't exist, and it worked. We just pretended it didn't exist. And
yeah,
it worked.
Like that's actually, I'm putting this on Natalie Portman. Sorry, Natalie.
No.
It happened. I mean, it was a great attempt. It was a little quick, you know, like they didn't even send around what key it was going to be in, maybe a sample of what it should sound like. It was just haphazardly edited together. There were some like no names in there that I'm like, who's that? They should imagine my confusion right now.
They should imagine putting a Chyron at the bottom.
Right.
That has their name. Next nominee, Trump trying to make us believe Dominion stole the election.
Oh, man. You know, listen, I think it was a very long attempt. I don't even know that it's over. I think that
it's an ongoing attempt.
Still running. Yeah, it's
maybe permanent.
Forever, yeah. Like somebody must have taken it. Probably the American citizens who voted against him. But, you know, I think that for me, this wasn't really that great of an attempt because the truth is, this should have been a layup for Trump as far as an election went if he had just done the right thing for COVID.
Yeah.
Like America loves to rally around itself. He completely screwed himself. You know who lost that election? Donald Trump. You know who stole that from himself? Donald Trump.
Yeah, he did. Stop the steal. Look in the mirror.
Yeah. Look in the mirror, Don. Jesus Christ.
Next nominee, Nancy Pelosi wearing a kente cloth.
Okay, yeah. This is a big swing from old Nance, and I get it, right? You know, we were all trying to show support. It wasn't a black square. It was just, you know, a kente square on her face that none of us cared about. Like, I gotta say, it did not make me feel any better about the police nor the state of our union. It was just sort of like, all right. And also, I think it was a little late because, you know, when Kaepernick was kneeling, where was that energy? It's like all of a sudden we're all excited to kneel.
Was your kente cloth at the dry cleaners? Where was?
Right, exactly. She was like, I couldn't find it then, but now that we're all doing it. And, you know, I feel like I gotta give white people who mean well a little bit of credit. Like, I had a lot of really nice, well-meaning white friends in L.A. that brought me gifts when George Floyd died, which is crazy. They thought, you know, this will help. And I had a lot of cupcakes. My housemate doesn't eat them. I have a ton of food now. And you really just want me to tell you you're a good white person. Even with this award, that's what I'd be doing for Nancy. And I believe she doesn't need that from me. But I will say, I understand that we were trying to make people feel better. And the cloth looked fly, you know?
Okay.
It's hard to look bad in kente cloth.
Next up, Trump tear gassing protesters to hold up a Bible.
Mm. Oh, upside down as well. People always forget that detail. It was never upside right in any of the photos, which is why it seemed even more sinister. I'm like, wait, What are you doing?
You know, there's a fundamental problem with all photo ops, which is, so he's very aware of the photo and he's aware of the video, but like he was standing there for a picture. But the key to a good event is you have to have something that works both for the photo, which he did, right? He had the Bible. That would have worked for the photo.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying, like, from their point of view, it's the photo they wanted.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a plan for how to make a video.
Right.
He didn't have a plan for what to say or do with the Bible, which he held.
Yeah, there was no before or after. I'm standing outside of a church with my favorite book, the Bible, and we're like, we have questions about how you got there.
It's like,
was it when you bombed them? Firebomb for Jesus.
It's that also when he held the Bible, he held the Bible with the familiarity of a single man in his mid-40s who never married and never had kids and is never around kids, is handed a baby. Like, he was like...
Totally. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to break it.
Is his neck going to be okay? Is this Bible okay? I think the Bible's
going to throw up. Can it hold its own neck up yet?
Yeah. I don't want
to
break the Bible.
I'm confused about what to do with the neck. And these are pages here. that's interesting. So how's school? It's not in school yet.
No, I think it's a really cute Bible.
Yeah, it's a really cute Bible, but it's not based on other Bibles I've seen. That's just what
I think this Bible wants you back. I think it wants you back.
Exactly. It's crying. No, those are the protesters I bombed. messed up.
It's messed up. You know what? It's the end of a dark year, all right?
Yeah.
And we're trying to get through it. We're just getting these things out.
Yeah.
All right? We're getting them out.
We're doing it. I feel it.
All right. And finally, you know what? I'm calling that the last nominee because the next one is
even darker.
No, I want
to know what the next one is. I have to know how dark it is.
Clapping for healthcare workers instead of giving them PPE.
Oh, wow. You know,
jeez.
To me, that has got to be the most American of the entire list. These are the American Quarantine Choice Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, the clapping thing, we didn't really do it in West Hollywood, gotta say. Like, we don't have, like, a balcony or anything, so the effect was just, like, me standing outside in a driveway.
It was a New York thing.
But New York did it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, like, it became this nationwide phenomenon because New York has balconies, and it was, like, this whole cinematic thing, and it made sense. And also, people were at home because it was really bad there. Everyone else was just like still going to Chili's, but like clapping. It's like honk if you love the people who are on the front lines. Like that doesn't help anybody.
Oh, I'm not going to do anything to make their world safer.
Yeah, like I still have to go to the movies. It's important for my birthday that I have a party, but I applaud you all for taking care of the fallout.
Yeah, my boyfriend has a cough, but we're not going to skip date night.
Right. So, you know, I think that like America really didn't follow through. So I got to say, like, as far as attempts go, not even an attempt.
Not even
an
attempt.
I can start clapping now. Does that mean I'm part of it? It's nothing. I clap all the time. Doesn't matter.
Akilah, you have the nominees. They are the Imagine video, Trump and Dominion, Nancy Pelosi in a kente cloth, Trump tear-gassing protesters to hold a Bible, and clapping but not helping healthcare workers. Who will receive the golden pangolin statue? The pangy.
Oh, no. The pangies. Topanga is what we named it. Okay, I got to go with Nancy Pelosi and the kente cloth. And here's the thing. She meant well. From the beginning, it didn't seem like it was for necessarily attention. She was going to be seen in public that day, whether she liked it or not. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to show some support. And if it's a little corny and... also, like, misses the point because, like, who's been wearing kente cloth in, like, the African-American community since, like, the 90s? But anyway, whatever. Like, you know, it was just a vaguely black thing she tried to do. And that's all you can hope for from an octogenarian, I want to say. You know, I appreciate it.
Akilah appreciates it. That's why Nancy Pelosi is the first winner of this year's Quarantine Choice Award for attempts. The nice try but no thanks prize. Akilah Hughes. It's always wonderful to see you. What a delight.
I know. John Lovett, you are just a dream. Happy holidays, baby.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you. I hope you can wake up and have some cocoa with your lumberjack tree actor man.
Yeah, I hope
that
happens
for you.
Or at least write some fan fiction or a pilot about it. Someone finds the joy in that.
Then you cast him because he's waiting.
Oh,
he's waiting for you. In one way or another, he's waiting for you.
Thank you.
is the co-host of Keep It and our resident crooked pop culture expert. Please welcome returning champion, Louis Fertel.
Oh my God. Only you would know that the phrase returning champion would like hit me so hard. Like there could be no finer phrase to bestow upon me. It's not even true, by the way. Almost, I like, for instance, I lost on Jeopardy. So it's, you're lying, but I appreciate it.
You're our returning champion, and many people have lost on Jeopardy. Many people have won on Jeopardy, but few have created a snap gif that has become eternal.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, pizzazz is exactly that, eternal, and that's what I brought. And unfortunately, you can't revoke it, so...
So Louis is here to help us with the Quarantine Choice Awards. This is the category of best film we saw this year, in a year with very few films. He's going to hear the nominees, he's going to judge the nominees, and he's going to determine who deserves this year's Quarantine Choice Awards. The nominees are Palm Springs.
Okay, enjoyed it. A little familiar for me, but had fun moments.
I actually loved Palm Springs. And I really did love it. I thought it was so entertaining. I watched it twice because what else are we going to do? But I also just love the idea of like saying like, I have this idea for a movie. And it's like, oh, what is it? It's, did you ever see Groundhog Day?
Just starting right with that.
Cool. Yeah, that's it. That's the idea.
What about It Again? Yeah.
And I was like, I'm in. That's a great idea for a movie. And I actually think now Groundhog Day is a genre. You have your Edges of Tomorrow, those birthday movies. You have that one where Wayans' brother was nude.
You sounded like Tipper Gore when you said that. Like really, really scandalized.
Russian Doll, a fantastic example. I was just gonna say,
Russian Doll, I actually prefer to Palm Springs, but yes, exactly. No, I mean, a lot of people would say the same thing about like popular music, like, is this a ripoff or is it a pastiche, et cetera? And it turns into a genre.
Yeah, I'm excited about the live a day over and over again genre. I'm in more. I want more. I want more Edges of Tomorrow. I want Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt repeating the same day over and over again. I'm in. I'm just like completely in.
Works in particular for Tom Cruise because there's already a delirium about him. So it like thematically matches up.
What did you think of Tom Cruise losing his shit on the set of, I guess it's Mission Impossible.
Right. Weirdly, we didn't get to talk about this on Keep It. It happened milliseconds after we recorded, which, as listeners of the podcast know, happens to us a lot. Well, nothing he said struck me as wrong, or like nothing he said was an ad hominem attack, so that I supported. Mm-hmm. That said, I am like of the millennial generation, and I do think it's abusive behavior. I don't think anybody should be subject to that on a set, and I think you could handle it in a way that was less like, I have this much power and I'm truly pointing a finger. I can't imagine him not pointing a finger as he does this stuff. So I am happy he was so pro-science, shall we say, and a little bit angry at how much people are applauding him for going that crazy, as if somehow it was very welcome.
Yes, so I agree. There's no excuse for losing your temper like that. Totally. Totally.
Yes.
So obviously, I think that's a problem. However, there are two parts of the content at which he lost me. One is he's doing so well. You know, because look, Christian Bale lost his shit in a similar way. And it was about someone getting in his line of sight during a take. Right? Like, yeah. this is about something serious. Okay? I do respect that. One, when he said, I sleep with the industry. Like the industry rests on his shoulders. It's like, okay, Tom, we were on your side, and now all of a sudden, you're holding up the whole industry. You have the pressure of saving film on your back, and that's why you're upset. It's a bit dramatic. Like, I know we're all in the scene with you here. Give us a break. And then two, there's a moment where he says something like, I can talk to your logic. I can talk to your reason. And I'm like, are you? That is Scientology.
Right.
We are hearing some Scientology seeping through here. You're not talking to us as individuals. You're talking to the logic in us.
Right.
And I don't really know much more about the lore.
The feet and ghosts he was addressing, yes, in the room. Yes. Yeah, also, when he said the thing about the industry rests on my shoulders, it reminded me a little bit of the Charlie Sheen freakout where he said, and I won Best Picture when I was 17 for Platoon or whatever. It's like, no, you don't win Best Picture. You were in the film or whatever.
The picture, you know, wins Best Picture.
Right.
The picture wins best picture.
These are the rules. Yeah.
These are the rules. Producer accepts that one. We don't know. I don't know why.
Right.
Then those are the rules. Next nominee after Palm Springs, we have the TikTok of that guy skateboarding drinking cranberry juice. We have the close-up of Dr. Birx when Trump said we should drink bleach. We have Emily in Paris. That was a sleeper nominee. I haven't seen it. Tommy's watched every episode. I haven't seen it.
That's like the thing I know most about Tommy now is that he has somehow sat through the entire thing. It is one of the more bizarre lead performances on television in recent years. It is like if Kristen Davis on Sex and the City were drunk. That's what it's like, the whole show.
I think that's cool. I think that's cool.
I'm not saying it's bad. It just is.
Next nominee, The Crown's Gillian Anderson doing an impression of Margaret Thatcher.
I will say this. For a show that, like, not too many people on that show are doing impressions that are, like, dead on. They're, like, impressionistic versions of the people. So for her to kind of go very hard on picking a vocal tick and a thing of Margaret Thatcher's and seeking it out, I applaud. That said, it really is like she is playing an alien in Mars Attacks. I mean, just the strangest, confusing version of Margaret Thatcher. It's too slow. I felt her arc on the show did not have enough impact for me.
I did, yes. I went back and I was like, I don't actually know enough about what Margaret Thatcher sounded like. In fact, I'm actually realizing as I watch this that I'm not comparing Gillian Anderson to Margaret Thatcher. I'm comparing Gillian Anderson to Meryl Streep.
Right.
And then you realize, wait, is Gillian Anderson doing an impression of Margaret Thatcher, or is she doing an impression of Meryl Streep doing an impression of Margaret Thatcher? And either way, I agree. I just found it to be very, you have Olivia Colman just sort of disappearing in this wry version of this woman, and you have Helena Bonham Carter continuing to exist in this world without really much reason.
Right.
And then around them there are impressionists just like rich little level acting, and I love it. I'm in on it. I'm going to give you two more nominees. We have Demi Adejuyigbe dancing on top of a car at a gas station after Biden won the election. And finally, we have Smokey Robinson saying, surprise, surprise, happy Chinooka.
First of all, Smokey is just on Cameo. It's too large. It's like if you could just like talk to Elvis Presley on Cameo. It's really insane.
I don't understand Cameo. I find its prevalence somewhat chilling. I don't understand the economics of Cameo. There are people that seem like they have too much money on Cameo. I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it.
And also, if like I pay enough money, I can like learn what Jeremy Piven's kitchen looks like. It's just like frightening, you know? It's too much power.
At any moment. And it does also seem as though like a full 30% of Cameos are tricks. Like they've been tricked into saying something.
Totally.
Feels high risk, low reward. But maybe I'm wrong. Don't come after me, Cameo people. I do think Tommy at one point signed me up as a joke. And it led to an awkward conversation of me saying, no, thank you.
I reject this nomination. Yeah.
But I do, like, Smokey Robinson saying surprise, surprise is, like, I just, sometimes I'll just need to hear it. He just says it in this, like, this, it's this, beautiful lyrical way that like he makes surprise surprise is like a song in and of itself, and then he's got me. And now I'm like, nah, I'm in. I want to see where this story goes as a film. And then it goes to Happy Chinooka, and he says it in such a joyful guileless way that you come at the end, you're at the end of it, you're like, listen, you didn't know the CH thing at the front was for Hanukkah, that never came your way, I'm cool with it.
Right. No, the fact that he had no guess at all, like that, it wasn't even like, this is a real holiday. It's I'm being put on immediately. Like I know you think I look like an idiot right now, but let me tell you, whatever you want, enjoy yourself was sort of the message he gave out.
So winning. And a lesson for all of us. You don't need to pretend. You take things as they come and you're honest about them, and it's quite lovable. I'm in on Smokey Robinson. It was nice to be reminded. Nice to see him. I'm just like, you know, hey, Smokey Robinson's out there doing stuff. That was nice to see.
Right.
So you have the nominees, Lewis. You are going to choose the winner of the Golden Pangolin. It's Palm Springs, the TikTok cranberry juice guy, Dr. Birx when Trump said we should drink bleach, Emily in Paris, Gillian Anderson doing an impression, Demi Adejuyibe, and Smokey Robinson.
I almost picked Dr. Burks because Dickie culture and Ascot culture are very underrepresented. We don't have like Charles Nelson Reilly's anymore. So, or, you know, like the movie Network where like the estranged wife bursts into tears while wearing an amazing Ascot. So, but I do have to go with the Fleetwood Mac guy because one, Fleetwood Mac awareness is on the up, and I applaud any youngster video TikTokery that continues to buttress them. I'm a little upset we're not getting more Christine McVie love. It seems to be squarely planted on Stevie. Let's get a little more sophisticated. Thank you. But also, it's just one of those things you've watched 20 times without even thinking about it. And that's what being on the internet is all about. And that's what I think Best Picture will soon turn into. So I'm going to vote for that.
So congrats to you, guy on a skateboard drinking cranberry juice. You've won the Golden Pangolin at this year's Quarantine Choice Awards. Lewis, thank you for being here. Before I let you go, to mark the end of the year, let's just see what you got. Again, this is unplanned. In fact, I don't. Lewis has no idea what year I'm going to say or category I'm going to ask because I don't know what I'm going to ask. Best Supporting Actress, 1996 Oscars.
It's one of my favorite years because you have one of the greatest actresses of all time, Juliette Binoche, winning for The English Patient. Not a movie that people love, but she is very rich in it. I recommend Juliette Binoche specifically in the movie Damage with Jeremy Irons, which I love. But that year, she famously beat Lauren Bacall in The Mirror Has Two Faces. And Lauren Bacall, as you know, is unfriendly. And I would not want to do that to her. Her eyelids malfunction in the most sinister way. The way, I mean, imagine those eyelids just pointed at you. You're intimidated, right? And then also in that category that year is Marianne Jean-Baptiste in one of my favorite movies ever, Secrets and Lies by Mike Leigh, which is extremely underrated and so rewarding. Don't know anything going into it. Please watch that movie. It's fabulous.
Love that recommendation. 1974 Best Actor.
1974 Best Actor. It's a weird year because Art Carney, known most from The Honeymooners, wins for a movie called Harry and Tonto. And of course, that's a very prestigious year because you have movies like The Conversation and The Godfather Part II. And so we're getting really into the gritty 70s there. So it's a strange, anomalous Best Actor win.
1984 Best Picture nominees.
Let's see here. 1984 Best Picture nominees. The winner is Amadeus, of course. And if you never took like a high school band class, that's the only way you could have not seen it. So, weird year with two Best Actor nominees from the same movie, Tom Hulce and F. Murray Abraham, who won. What else is going on that year? Oh, A Soldier's Story, which nobody has ever seen. We had The Killing Fields, which got a Best Supporting Actor win for Hang S. Noor, one of the few non-actors to win an Oscar. He was a doctor, later killed. Look up the wiki. It's really fascinating. Passage to India, which is like the least seen David Lean movie, though it stars Judy Davis, whom I'm obsessed with. And what else am I missing? 1984, A Soldier Story.
Love watching the information click through your brain.
Yeah, literally there are cogs moving, and I'm moving my head with it.
Who is Best Actress in 1984? We're gonna get there.
Oh, Best Actress in 1984 is Sally Field. Oh, that's another nominee. Places in the Heart. Her second win, that's when she had the famous speech where she said, "Not you like me, you really like me, but this time I feel it, you like me." Which she exclaimed. Also, let's talk about the heyday of John Malkovich. We used to just have scary, brooding men who were going to take over. You know what happened? Daniel Day-Lewis became more popular, and then John Malkovich receded. That's what happened.
Wow. Yeah, that is what happened. I suppose that is what happened, right? Man, that's the thing about being an actor. You're Dustin Hoffman. You're one of the most successful actors in the world, and you're still only getting the things Pacino said no to. You know?
Totally.
It's a tough gig.
An example I always think of is 1986 Best Supporting Actress nominee Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. When you watch her in that movie, you're like, here it is, the star. She will keep happening. 2 years later, a woman emerges with the same silhouette and winsomeness named Julia Roberts. And it's like, oh, right, well, you win.
Lewis Virtel, as always, thank you so much for being here. Whenever I say your name in full, I'm also reminded that Lewis Virtel is the gay pronunciation of Virtel, but that there is a whole clan of Virtels out there who are like, this is the guy that turned mayonnaise into aioli, you know?
That's right. Polish mayonnaise into, or no, I guess it's more German than Polish, but it's, yeah, everything European that has rosacea is in the name Virtel.
When we come back, we're going to do another award.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Hey there, Tommy Vitor. And if you're not subscribed to Pod Save America's YouTube channel, then you are leaving some sweet, sweet content on the table, and you don't want to do that. Here is a clip from my YouTube series, Liberal Tears, where Brian Tyler Cohen and I rank the worst moments in politics. The loser also has to do something terrible and embarrassing. In this case, you will have to hear it for yourself. A few weeks back, we talked about the phenomenon of MAGA rappers. Forgiato Blow, Vivek Ramaswamy.
I know what you're going to do.
Some of the best and the brightest in the rap game. I did win this time with 60% of the vote. So you're up in the punishment category. We were thinking it would be cool if, like Vivek, you could lose yourself to the music in the moment.
Lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. Only your one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, yo.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hit subscribe so you don't miss the fun, and make sure to check out the Pod Save America YouTube channel for more content.
She's a comedian, actress. She has a new show called Resident Alien premiering in January. Please welcome back returning champion, Alice Wetterlund. So good to see you.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, why haven't we been doing this for 9 fucking months? That is awesome.
Man, I don't know. I realized that I was like, I miss stand-up so much. And it's not the audience validation. It's the confirmation that I know I'm funny. So I could just do that myself, right, guys? Goddamn straight. Love me.
Rules. That's all I want.
I know.
I don't want validation. I want confirmation. I take both, but in a pinch.
There you go.
In a pinch.
They love that. They love that, John. They fucking love you.
It also is like a nicotine patch for real applause, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm so addicted to those patches. I never smoked. I just love the patches. A little tepid. But okay,
I'll
take it.
So, honestly, my face hurts. It's making me smile so much to watch you give yourself laughter.
Yeah, that's good.
So you are here, Alice, because you are part of this year's Love It or Leave It first annual Quarantine Choice Awards.
Oh my God, it's so cool. Wow.
And you are here to judge one of our most important categories.
Great.
The award for most humiliating Rudy Giuliani moment.
No. Oh, my God. That's...
Yes. That's what you are. You are here to help us determine.
Oh, my God. I want to thank every agent I've ever fired for having me in this position, because this is a good category. Wow.
It's cool. It's pretty cool. So I'm going to share with you the nominees. And as we go, share your thoughts, your feelings. Judge the category however you see fit. It's your category to judge. And at the end, I will run through the options one more time, and you can determine this year's winner of the Golden Pangolin.
Okay. All right. Do you need like a drum roll? Or let me see if I can find that. Here. It's going to take me a second. So here we go.
And the nominees are Rudy Giuliani's hair leaking.
All right. So that's already the one that comes to mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Because, sure. Sure it does.
Like, do you think that he bought a bottle and it was like leak proof?
I don't know. Whatever it said on the bottle, if you're dyeing your hair 15 minutes before the event, your life is in chaos. He's dyeing his hair like Harrison Ford in that tunnel when he escapes from the hospital after eating an egg sandwich that he made look like the best egg sandwich in history. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Harrison Ford eating that breakfast sandwich in the hospital when he's escaping?
Yeah, yeah.
That breakfast sandwich. He makes that scrambled eggs on bread. He makes it look so good. Mm-hmm. And then he goes into that tunnel and he dyes his hair, even though after which he looks exactly the same.
Did he die in a tunnel?
In my mind, it's in a tunnel. It's in a dingy bathroom.
I was like, oh, they should make a salon based on that concept. Like, fugitive barbershop. We only use shoe dye.
I'm now realizing that this is a kid's version of what took place in the movie, because that's when I first saw it. In my mind, he's in a tunnel and then he's in a dingy bathroom. I always thought it was like a tunnel bathroom, but I don't think that makes sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. They do have those, though. If you go in the subway, there's like little the doors for the people that work there and that live there.
And also we're learning something Next nominee, Rudy Giuliani trying to masturbate in front of Borat.
Here's a pickle.
The restraint to not have pressed the laugh button.
Yeah, at that exact moment. Right there. Just smattering applause. There's, you know, did he try to masturbate in front of Borat? Or was it like just the whole Borat moment?
I think it's that he was laying down to take his pants down and involve
his microphone. I do think it would be really opportune for us to come up with, like, you know, everybody who's masturbating now has to be like, don't open the door, I'm adjusting my microphone, if you know what I mean. I gotta call it that.
Don't come in here, I'm doing an interview with a young journalist from abroad.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean.
Don't walk in on John right now. He's tucking in his shirt.
Next nominee, Rudy Giuliani farting several times during testimony.
What? Oh, that was you, John.
That is, you know what? That is the first time, and I pray the last, that you use this soundboard malignantly.
Literally what soundboard?
Maliciously.
I don't know what you're talking about. John, honestly.
For those listening... There's a practical joke afoot. There's a prankster. That one was real.
That was just my mouth.
We got a Johnny Knoxville on our hands here. All right. R.I.P.
It sucks that happened in 2020, because honestly, if it had happened in another era in which people weren't putting fart noises, you can easily put a fart noise anywhere you want. I can do it right now. Yeah. I can be like, what's up? And...
That one was a longer file. That one lingered.
Yeah, that's a big wave file. Took a minute to upload. So it sucks, because like if it happened in the 50s, it'd be like great, because we'd get it on tape and we'd be like, oh my god, he did it. But so many people were like, is that real or not? That we don't even really know.
I believe it because I trust the reporter who first shared it, and I believe he was as stunned as the rest of us.
The truth is out there. I want to believe.
I trust the institution. And finally, last nominee, Rudy Giuliani's press conference at Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
No.
See, there's a number of very... It's a competitive category. It's a competitive category.
And if I don't choose right, I'm never going to work again. So it's tough. All right, I'm putting the reverb back on.
Do you want me to run you through the nominees once more?
Yeah, let's run through the nominees.
We have Rudy Giuliani's hair leaking down the side of his face. We have Rudy Giuliani adjusting his microphone for Borat. We have Rudy Giuliani experiencing flatulence in a committee hearing. We have Rudy Giuliani's press conference at Four Seasons Total Landscape.
And the golden penguin goes to...
Now you're just doing Foley effects. Now you got two coconut shells and it's a horse.
Rudy Giuliani's dye job leaking. Wow, they really came out first for that one. Damn.
That's huge, big audience.
Guys. And I say that knowing Four Seasons Total Landscaping was the goof of the year in a lot of ways. But we know that there's so many other people involved.
That's right.
In that goof.
That's right.
It might not be his fault, but we know the shoe dye was him. We know that the hair dye was him. We know there was a bottle and it said, wait an hour before going out.
Sweating profusely.
Please don't do this right before you go on camera. It said it so specifically that it's almost like, why did they think they had to say that? But they are like, somebody's going to do it.
It said, Rudy.
Rudy.
Give it an hour.
Say you're a disgraced mayor, for instance. You're like, wow, this is some specific.
It's called Just for Rudy.
Oh, he felt so special.
All you had to do was press the laugh button. You could have just pressed the laugh button right there. I was waiting. I was so hopeful.
I'll cue you up again. What would they even call that?
What are you going to call a bottle of that? Call a bottle of hair dye. Just for Rudy?
Oh, it was a thinker.
Thinker.
For some reason. Why did they think about it? They're just filing it.
Alice Wetterlin, This was an unalloyed delight. Always so good to see you.
So good to see you too, John. Thank you for having me. I love this segment. And I love this show.
And I love you.
I love you too. Give money to John Ossoff. He needs it. Raphael Warnock's doing great. I'm just kidding. Everybody, give money to everybody. Always, all the time. One more dollar.
Don't stop giving.
What have you given today? One more dollar.
Always be giving. Alice Wetterlin, thank you so much. When we come back, I don't know, someone else. And finally, here to present our last award, you know him, you love him, comedian, writer, actor, returning champion, Guy Branum.
Thank you for having me.
It's always great to have you. We always love seeing you here. What is this voice?
What do you mean?
That I'm doing. I'm doing a voice of some kind. It's always nice to see you, Guy. Thank you so much for being here.
I think you're pivoting to respectability. You understand that there is a place for LGBTQIIA individuals in the cabinet now, and you're saying, hey, I could run Veterans Affairs. I could be a Commerce Secretary.
First of all, yes and yes, absolutely. I make a ton of sense for Veterans Affairs. yes, although I will say, you'd think if... Yeah, no, no, it's exciting. It's exciting. We're those gay cabinet secretaries. Mayor Pete, you know? Secretary Mayor Pete, it's happening. you know, there are people on Twitter that performatively dislike... Mayor Pete, I think some people have real feelings. Some people want to impress people by proving their bona fides, if you will. On transportation, it's one of those issues where there's actually space. Like, transportation secretary as a job is odd, right? Because it's an agency that oversees like the FAA and like the Federal Highway Administration. Like, there's a lot of like big kind of meaty independent departments. But there's an opportunity for a transportation secretary to like make it their life's mission, obviously to refocus the department on climate, but also to figure out why projects in America cost so much.
Yeah.
And they can like decide, they can decide to use the power to convene the like the kind of if the soft power, if you will, of the transportation job to like bring people together, find best practices, talk to people in other countries, and like begin to figure out why building things in the United States costs so much money, because there's nothing we want to do as a country. There's nothing we want to do in terms of mass transit, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of climate that we can do effectively if every time we build an exit on a bridge, it costs 10 times as much as it would in France or Spain, places that have worker protections, places that have environmental protections.
I mean, it's just so hard because infrastructure is that answer that could be giving us jobs and skilled labor jobs, you know? Like, when we're talking about like work and like the economics of America, what we so frequently forget is it is these dudes and ladies who did not go to college but are willing to work very, very hard and have a lot of understanding about the things that they do, who are out there and don't have the work that they need to feel valuable and to be part of this economy. And it like it is such an exciting thing. It's also a part of our government that shuts down every time, in many ways, every time a Republican gets elected and somebody's wife gets appointed Secretary of Transportation to, like, provide... And I'm not just talking about Elaine, I'm also talking about Liddy Dole. Like, that it's not something that Republicans care about in sort of, like, a centralized federal kind of way. And, you know, having, like, infinite different projects, the fact that San Francisco alone has, like, four competing public transportation systems isn't efficient. Like, and I think Mayor Pete and his fucking Norwegian and his Italian and his willingness to go granular with things could be very good. But mostly, I'm just worried about Chastain becoming a doyen of Georgetown. Just our next...
No, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for him. Yes, that's what we need. And I'll say this, too. Look, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, soon to be Secretary Pete Buttigieg, that guy wants to be president. Do you know how good a Secretary of Transportation you need to be to become president?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I think if he wants to be taken seriously in national politics, he got to show us that he can flip Indiana. Now, part of me wonders if he uses this transportation gig as an opportunity to do something one of your former employeresses did, and when they're done, move to a nice New York, move to a nice California and fucking carpet bag. But I think that am I allowed to say motherfucker? I won't say motherfucker.
Sure.
I think that motherfucker has to go back to fucking Indiana, to fucking South Bend, and talk about corn and pigs, and get those people to vote blue like they have many times before he gets to show his face in Iowa once again.
Well, Guy Branum has laid down the gauntlet, and it's there for you to pick up, Mayor Pete.
I mean, I would say of all of the people on your podcast network, on all of Crooked Media, it is the non-practicing lawyer who mostly writes for lady sitcoms who is providing that cogent analysis of national politics that people should be listening to. What Vitor says, who cares? Go to Branum.
Go to Branum. If you want to stay in touch with rural Indiana, you want to go with the coastal lawyer whose most recent book had him in a toga with a rose tiara on his head because he knows what makes people tick all across this land.
I mean, I would say I have touched pigs in like the 95th percentile of Crooked Media guests. I would say the amount of pig touching I have done is up there. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Fair enough. But that's not why you're here, Guy. Obviously, we go to you to understand farming in the Midwest, but that's not why you're here today. You're here to present our last award, the big one, the Rudy Giuliani Prize for person who had the worst year that isn't Rudy Giuliani. All right? I'm going to read you the list of nominees, and then you will decide the winner of this Quarantine Choice Award.
Oh, all right? Wow. The responsibility.
Who will receive the golden pangolin?
It's well, up you know, to you. Like Valerie Cherish always said, the People's Choice Award meant the most because it came from the people. And I think that what are they called? The quarantinies?
Listen, here's the problem. We were going to call them the pandemies, but then The Daily Show did the pandemies. So we ended up with the Quarantine Choice Awards. I think we can call them the pangies because you get a pangolin.
Quarantine Choice is great. I like Quarantine's Choice. The Quarantine's Choice is really the best, second best award because it comes from the people you book. You know, it comes from celebrities who were chosen by your producers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In conversation with the host.
In conversation with the host. At this point in time, it's all about norms. It's all about us maintaining norms. Fucking Amy Coney Barrett got her shit together and did not let there be a coup. And I think that the Quarantine Choice similarly have to hew to our obligation to democracy and the values of our society.
I 100% agree with that. I think that was such a smart point. Thank you so much. Here are the nominees. Share your thoughts as we go, Guy. This is a collaborative process as well. The nominees are J.K. Rowling.
You really have to respect J.K. Rowling because she made this year for herself. Like, everything was going fine. A generation of people loved her. She's richer than the queen. And yet she managed to turn this entire year into a shit show by just deciding to be as mean as possible to trans people. And like, also, let's be fair, what the fuck is going on in England or Great Britain generally that like so many of their big names are just like, why don't I shit on trans people? Like, it's a national passion.
It's a national passion. It's had real consequences for trans kids. It's awful. It's the bigotry that she obviously holds. It's her conviction in it, right? This is not ignorance. She has done the work. She has done the research to decide to hold this bigoted view and to espouse it and make it so central to what she discusses at a moment of when there is Brexit, when there's an economic crisis, when there's a pandemic, when there's so much more important, when there's a racial reckoning unfolding, when there's so many big things happening.
And like her publicists have wheedled her out for years and she just keeps making more shit happen. As so many people have pointed out, you're the lady who's constantly transforming things and people are going on magical journeys and finding themselves. Like, so many trans children and adults have loved the world she imagined because it seemed to have more of a place for people like them. And to be so, like, baldly excluding them makes me even more mad.
Well, I think she was like, oh my gosh, did you read this as a story about anyone can discover that they have gifts that they can reveal to those that are willing to see them? Because that's a misread. It's actually about adults sorting children into permanent classes. That was the goal. Next nominee is Jeffrey Toobin.
I mean, again, I would say, well, J.K. Rowling really represents like work towards having a terrible year. Jeffrey Toobin shows us that if you just follow your passions, you can truly destroy your life. Like, I mean, like the guy who was synonymous with the Supreme Court, who had written like our official books on it, who wrote the book that the OJ TV movie that we all loved was based on. Like, he had such a fucking lane, and he could have stayed in that fucking lane and maintained a beautiful life while, like, our establishment press crumbles around him. And instead, but instead, he had the passion to be more 2020 than I would say just about anyone else. And whack it well on Zoom.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is that when it comes to scandal, J.K. Rowling worked hard and Jeffrey Toobin played hard.
Absolutely.
Next nominee, it's Herman Cain.
Oh.
It goes with the sort of speaks for itself. I will say there's a joke we did on Love It or Leave It. It might be a Travis special, which I think of now all the time whenever I see a big group of people gathering without masks at like a Republican event. And it's win a chance to meet Herman Cain. next nominee, it's Mr. Peanut.
Wait, what happened to Mr. Peanut?
He also died. That was a scandal from another era.
Yes. Here's the thing about Herman Cain is that, like, it's all math. Every time you see them having these gatherings or, like, doing a cocktail party at the White House, it's like a tabletop role-playing game where you really are just like, who's going to roll under? Who's going to roll under their health? And, you know, there were moments when the president was at Walter Reed when we were all like, how's this going to turn out? And, you know, it is... like, what a rough game for Herman Cain, that he was, of all of the folks who have come down with COVID, the one who managed to roll a critical fail, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. No, he definitely came up sevens.
Yeah.
Came up sevens. Well, those are your nominees. J.K. Rowling, Jeffrey Toobin, Herman Cain, and Mr. Peanut. Who do you believe deserves the Rudy Giuliani Prize for person who had the worst year that isn't Rudy Giuliani?
Okay. Here's what I'll say about Mr. Peanut. To me, he is excluded almost immediately because while he did die this year and while our focus on like other more important things may have obscured his death early in the year, this was a real year for non-perishable sources of protein.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
March
That's
and right. April, we were stockpiling. We were, you know, forcing supermarkets to, like, put things over their bulk bins. And I would say, as somebody who comes from a nut farming area, it was a good year for nuts and legumes generally. And so, not him. Herman Cain, I would say, it was an iconic presence. You know, it really was the bad year to be having this year. But also...
yes.
One feels terrible in any way feeling satisfaction about that. So for me, it's really about Toobin and JK. Here's what I'll say about Toobin. Really have to wonder what his 2021 is going to look like.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. The deciding how bad his 2020 is will actually depend on what happens to him in 2021.
To me, there's this interesting pivot point where... does Jeffrey Toobin start an OnlyFans? We've had so many, like, B and A minus list actors start an OnlyFans where you have access to them. Italy famous for electing porn stars to their Senate and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, what if, like, an established member of our New York chattering classes were just willing to whack it on OnlyFans for, like, $3.99 a month? I, like, that's how much I pay to get, I pay more than that to get through the paywall of the Washington Post to read shitty op-eds about how Dr. Jill Biden shouldn't call herself Dr. Jill Biden. To have somebody whack it while telling me, like, medium good takes about the Supreme Court session, yes.
I pay more to watch David Brooks masturbate in the Times twice a week. Sorry, I just picked somebody.
Where? I really think, and I think I am coming down, that, like, JK has crested. Like, JK has really come to a point where no one... I mean, it was honestly, it's kind of done us a favor because, like, making a cute little Harry Potter joke was a hack source of jokes in a lot of television and movie that we were all getting pretty fucking tired of.
That's right.
We're now at the point where no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to deal with it. She's clearly showed herself to be a hateful enough person to override whatever literary merit there was in her books that were good. There's also Kremlinology that her books that are bad, her weird pseudonymous whatever mystery novels are like named after some ancient anti-trans person, which is just like, that's intense.
Oh no, we need a decision.
I don't think she has shit left to give us. I'm gonna say JK Rowling, like, you had the worst 2020 of everyone short of Rudy Giuliani.
Thank you, Guy. He is awarded the Golden Pangolin Statue to J.K. Rowling. Oh, I'm getting, just hearing this from the judges, it's going to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Guy Branum, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
If only she'd had a different 2013, you know? If she had just adjusted her 2013, could have been a better 2020.
I don't agree with what Guy just said. I don't agree with what Guy just said. I don't agree with what Guy just said. Guy Branum, everybody.
Bye.
That's it. The first and hopefully last Quarantine Choice Awards. Thank you to all of our guests who joined to help us determine who would win the Golden Pangolin Prizes. When we come back, let's end on a high note.
Don't go anywhere. This is Love It or Leave It, and there's more on the way.
Hey there, it's Tommy Vitor, and if you're not subscribed to Pod Save America's YouTube channel, then you are leaving some sweet, sweet content on the table, and you don't want to do that. Here is a clip from my YouTube series, Liberal Tears, where Brian Tyler Cohen and I rank the worst moments in politics. The loser also has to do something terrible and embarrassing. In this case, you will have to hear it for yourself. A few weeks back, we talked about the phenomenon of MAGA rappers. Forgiato Blow, Vivek Ramaswamy. So there's just, you know, some of the best and the brightest in the rap game. I did win this time with 60% of the vote. So you're up in the punishment category. We were thinking it would be cool if, like Vivek, you could lose yourself to the music in the moment.
Lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. Only get one shot, not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, yo.
None of you grew up in Michigan.
Hit subscribe so you don't miss the fun, and make sure to check out the Pod Save America YouTube channel for more content.
And we're back. Because we all need it this week and this year, here it is, the last high note of 2020.
Hey, love it. This is Dawn from Seattle. I just wanted to tell you about my high note for this week. I work in medical, and our director and his wife usually have a big party that they pay for out of their pocket because we're a public institution. And obviously that can't happen because of COVID this year. And they took all the money that they would have spent on the party and put it into the food banks in the Seattle community. I just think that's a super high note, and I hope you have a great day.
Hello, love it. This is Elizabeth in North Carolina, and my high note of the week is that because our semester ended before Thanksgiving this year, my roommate and I had time to make handmade Christmas cards for all of our loved ones, which usually can't happen because we have finals going on in December. So we had a lot of fun doing it, and it just made the holiday season feel a little better this year. Thanks for everything you do. Have a great week.
Hi, John. Chris in Tacoma, Washington. And my high note for the week is a literal note because tonight was our 7-year-old son's winter piano recital. He's only been taking piano lessons since January of this year, and his summer recital was essentially recorded at home on a practice keyboard because of our COVID lockdowns. And so tonight, he was able to take the stage in front of an audience of his parents and his little sister and his music teacher and play on this beautiful studio grand piano. And he's playing a solo that he's worked very hard on for the last 4 months. And all day he was really nervous and worried about stage fright and worried about essentially not being able to finish the piece. And he gets up there and he absolutely killed it on the first take. And the look of joy on his face when he finished couldn't make me prouder. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. And so in a year that he's essentially been ripped away from his friends and his classmates and really seen nobody but his parents and his little sister all year long, he's worked really hard all year using piano practice as kind of his steadying force through the year. And he finally got his time in the spotlight that he truly deserved. So love the show. Thanks for everything you do. Have a great night.
John, hi. This is Cheska calling from rural Northwest Montana, where I work at a regional hospital. And the highlight of my week is when the FDA advisory committee voted and they gave the green light for the Pfizer vaccine. About an hour later, my hospital sent a survey monkey to employees asking who wanted to get the vaccine. And I can't tell you how relieved I was as a frontline healthcare worker who works with COVID patients to see that survey monkey. And it was the quickest survey I've ever done. I can't wait to get the vaccine. Thank you so much for the show. I listen to it every Saturday. Makes my day. Bye.
Hi, Love It. This is Emily in Los Angeles. My high note this week and every week is the fact that Emily's Garden Show has become the most popular segment in the history of Love It or Leave It. And I just want you to know that you should feel really proud of your minor contribution to the success of the show. And I just thought, if you want to really end the year on a high note, I would love for you to listen back to the highlights of your show this year, as specifically this one clip.
I'm John Lovett, and you gotta know, I love Emily's Garden Show. Nothing has ever been so good as Emily's Garden Vote.
Yes!
Can we put some...
That's my new ringtone! Hey,
zhuzh that up. Put some echo on that bad boy.
Yeah.
Wait a second. How did Emily... That's not how this is supposed to work. This is my show. This is my show. That is why it is because of things like this that I did not tell Emily that her Emily's Garden Show merch outsold Love It or Leave It merch. All right. I didn't want her to know that because it's going to her head. She's taking over the show segment by segment. Have a great holiday, everybody. Thank you so much to Emily Heller, Sam Park, Michaela Watkins, Louis Fertel, Alice Wetterlin, Guy Branum, Akilah Hughes, and everyone who called in. There are 17 days until the Georgia Senate runoff. Go to VoteSaveAmerica.com to help. Have a great weekend. Have a great holiday. Have a great start to the new year. And thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you for getting through this year. Thank you for helping us win this election. And let's hope 2021 looks a lot better than 2020.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, Elisa Gutierrez, Lee Eisenberg, our head writer and the person whose gender reveal party started the fire, Travis Helwig. Jocelyn Kaufman, Pallavi Gunalan, and Peter Miller are the writers. Our assistant producer is Sydney Rapp. Bill Lance is our editor, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designers, Jesse McLean and Jamie Skeel, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, Nar Melkonian and Milo Kim, for filming and editing video each week so you can.